What a beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord is here today. I want to be careful today to give honor to your pastor, his wife, Brother and Sister Panero, their labor of love here in Santa Maria. Needless to say, I've been associated with this church for many, many years now. And as I look across the congregation, I see so many new faces, new people just in the last 2 years. Shows that there has been a successful transition of the Spirit, and that it's not just the burden of a preacher and his wife, but it is the burden of the people to see God work in this city. I compliment them. I compliment you today for your worship, for your spirit. And I believe that God again today is going to do beautiful, beautiful things in this service. Also giving honor to your bishop, Brother and Sister Keys. Literally seems like lifetime friends now to myself and my family, play a very important role in my life. And only thing I wish is that somehow they could have been here today, but they had to be in Whittier celebrating with Brother and Sister Garcia, who are out of this church, celebrating 20 years of pastoring there. Brother and Sister Keys have made an impact on the kingdom of God. This church is known to make a difference. So we give honor to all of them today. Thank you for the hospitality, beautiful room and accommodations at the Radisson, gift basket, just over the top. But I believe that you do that, and that it's the effort of the leadership of this church to represent that, because you believe that God and His kingdom deserve the absolute best. And again, I honor you today. Privileged to have my wife here with me today, and then my daughter Cherish is in, what do you call it, Kids Church or RT Kids? All right, we call it Kids Church at home, RT Kids. So I'm sure that she is much more excited to be there than here listening to Dad today. But I do come today with a burden from the Lord. Day before yesterday, I had occasion to just listen to a portion of a song. And as I was listening to it, the Lord whispered to me that this is the theme and the purpose that I want you to take to Santa Maria. And I just had to try to figure out. I said, well, God, you know, there's two services, so is that for the morning or the night? And the more I prayed, God gave me nothing else, so I figured out this is the first service. He's given me nothing else. This must be the right message for the right moment. Because until God gives me something else, I refuse to say anything else. That's just the way I'm built. I've not come today to just preach any message, because when you preach any message, you create generic religion. But there's a difference when a message comes full of anointed ministry. And that's what I want to happen here today, is I want the ministry of the Holy Ghost in this house. You're already worshiping. I can feel the hunger, the anticipation. But I want to resound what Pastor Panero has said, what the leaders have said, what the songs have dictated so far, and that is that whatever your need may be, there is a God in this house already present that can meet those needs. Folks, this is a house full of hope. This is a house full of power. This is a house full of potential. God's got everything that I need and that you need. The question is, do we want what God has? And I believe that God today is going to whisper into our hearts. If you are a guest here, I will tell you won't find a more exciting church anywhere in town than right here. And along with the pastor and the ministry team of this church, I welcome you today. Turning your attention to John chapter 8. And if my voice is scratchier than normal, just understand that I haven't been smoking. I've been inhaling smoke. I've been getting a lot of secondhand smoke since I got over here. But, you know, there was some texting going on yesterday, and I think it was my wife said, where there is smoke, there is fire. And the Lord speaks much in His Word about the praise of His people ascending as a sweet-smelling savor and as a smoke of sacrifice unto the Lord. So understand that when you are worshiping the Lord as you've been doing, you are signifying that there's a fire that's burning inside of you. And today I'm glad that this kind of smoke doesn't choke you up, but it picks you up. It lifts you up. It carries you. Folks, this is why you got to have worship in a church. Because if there is no worship, there is no smoke, and therefore there is no fire. But the fire of the Holy Ghost will change your life. Anybody glad today for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Anybody excited today about a God that can do anything? And I guess one last quick note, and that is, had the privilege of meeting JP last night out on the street, and I'm glad that to see him here today. And Brother Pinero made some statement about me being a better preacher, and I liked what JP said, because JP only knows Pastor. He doesn't know me. He said, well, I have to say that's a toss-up till tomorrow. And then he began to tell me how that this man just, and I forget the word he used, I think thunders out the Word of God. Well, I'm going to do my best today to try to thunder a little bit in the house. But I want to tell you, you are blessed with a preacher's preacher. You are blessed with a powerful man of God to lead this congregation. But JP, I'll do my best today. And if I disappoint you, just know Pastor will be back next week and it'll all be back to normal. John chapter 8, verse 21, reading down through verse 28. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, and again, this is from a different from King James Version, but will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He's saying, from the first thing I ever told you to standing at this moment, nothing's changed. I'm not evolving, I am who I am. Verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, speaking of Calvary, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Let's put our Bibles down and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Great God of heaven, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord God, I call upon the record of heaven. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ. I call upon the moving and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, today I can do nothing without you, O Lord. God, I've not come to try to impress, O Lord, but I've come today to minister in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray today that you would let your anointing rest on me today, God. Let it continue to rest upon this congregation. Let us be one in the Holy Ghost. Let your Spirit have its perfect work today, God. I pray, redeem somebody's life. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Renew someone in your spirit. Work miracles, signs, and wonders, O God. Let heaven be unleashed upon the earth today. Let there be divine demonstration in this sanctuary, O Lord. Let there be a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost that takes place in this sanctuary, Lord, that when we leave, we might know that we have been with the Lord. We pray your blessing and your favor in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach for a short while today on this subject. Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Our scripture setting today is the Lord speaking to scribes and the Pharisees. He's literally, if I can use the term, he's battling with them in language and in wording, as everything that he is saying of who he is and what he's come to do and what he can do and what he's been doing and what he is preparing. They are challenging with their religiosity. They are challenging with their education. They are challenging with their perspective. They're challenging with their ideas. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in turn, is coming back to them. And he's telling them, you know what, whether you believe me or not, I am who I say that I am. I have come with a purpose. I have come from the heavens. I and the Father are one. And I'm not going to get into the whole chapter, chapter 8 of the book of John. But he's telling them that I have come with a purpose. And we have a problem that you need to understand. He said, where I'm going, you can't go. He's telling them, he's preached to them, he's taught them, he's revealed to them in so many ways, whether they're seeing it clearly or not, that I am Jehovah God Almighty, that I am the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. I am the hope of Israel come to earth. I am the long-awaited one, and I've come into your world, but this is not my final destination. This is not the end of my journey, but that I am getting ready to depart this old fleshly tabernacle of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to return into the heavens, the final destination of the soul of men and women. And based on our discussion at this moment, and based on your resistance to who I am, and based on your resistance to what I say, and based on your unwillingness to follow my teaching, you cannot go where I'm going. I do not want to be offensive today, but I want to be very clear. The Bible tells us that there is salvation in none other. We are only saved through and by the grace of Jesus Christ. We are only saved by His example, by His word, by His sacrifice on Calvary, and following the commandment of the Lord when it was asked, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? The word came forth from the Apostle Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord. He said, you must repent. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is only one Lord. There is only one faith. There is only one baptism, and there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. So when there is no alternative way, when there is no secondary measure, when there is no path yet to be discovered, then it becomes imperative that our mindset be different than the scribes and the Pharisees. That instead of trying to combat the Word of God with the words of men, instead of trying to hold back against the way of God with the ways of tradition, instead of trying somehow to excuse ourselves from God's commandments because of our own self-righteousness, we must be willing in understanding again that there is salvation in no other name. There is no salvation in any other name given under heaven. No other name given under heaven, the Bible says, whereby we must be saved. Honey, if there's no other saving name, then you know what? Let's make much of the name of Jesus. Let's praise the name of Jesus. Let's exalt the name of Jesus. Let's talk about the name of Jesus. Let's declare the name of Jesus glorious. Let's declare the name of Jesus beautiful. Let's declare the name of Jesus powerful. Let's declare the name of Jesus all sufficient. Let's claim the name of Jesus as all healing. Let's claim the name of Jesus as all delivering. Let's claim the name of Jesus as everything that we need. Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach just a little bit here on this Sunday morning. As I'm telling you, there's a divine eruption of the Holy Ghost that's wanting to take place. I'm feeling deeper in my spirit where God's taking me. But amazingly enough, So we read in this scripture, again, the Lord starts out telling them that, you know what, where I'm going, you can't come. And the Jews, they began to query, they began to question. They said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I'm going, you can't come. You have to understand, according to Jewish tradition and their law, that suicide was considered to be the ultimate death, the ultimate place of denial against the creative God of your life. And so they believed that anyone that created or committed suicide was going straight to hell. So what they were saying is that, you know what, he's going to kill himself, and when he does, he's going to hell, and we can't go to hell. We're Jews. We're the sons of Abraham. We're descendants of a righteous God. We can't go to hell. Can I tell you today that that is a spirit of self-righteousness? You are not born into salvation. You are not born into righteousness. You are not born into self-identity that secures you a place in heaven. But you're somewhere going to have to come into a revelation that if I'm going to go to heaven, it's going to be by the same measure as every other man and woman. And that's going to be through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm going to have to take a trip to the cross. I'm going to have to be washed of my sin. I'm going to have to be born again. And believe it or not, again, they allowed the Lord to continue. And so he comes back in verse 23, which I read, and he said, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And they're content to just let God keep talking. Can I tell you that when God begins to speak, whether it be through his word, whether it be through a song, whether it be through an individual witness, whether it be through a voice to you in prayer, or whether it be through the voice of a preacher, when God's word begins to speak and begins to dictate that who you are and where you are and the light you're living and things that you've experienced or things you have not yet experienced will keep you from going to where he is. Honey, that's not a time to say, well, let me just hear the rest of the matter. That's a time at that moment to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I got to get something clear here. If what's going on in my world or whatever is insufficient in my life is going to keep me from being with Jesus, then God, I got to stop you right now. And I got to tell you, I want to go. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be lost, but I want to go. And so it is today that my mission, my purpose, my passion today is to bring everybody in this house, including this preacher in the pulpit, to a fresh place of answering the question that's on the screen, do you want to go? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care if it's your first time here. You are not going to make it to heaven unless you want to go. You can have a lot of trappings. You can have a lot of things. You can have a lot of education. You can have a lot of history. You can have a lot of ideas. But until you make up your mind that, you know what, I want to go to heaven, and I'm willing to do whatever God says I've got to do to bring my life into alignment, honey, you're not going to make it. And I'm just going to be me here today. I know some say, well, you know what? That just sounds a little bit like judgmental preaching. Then, honey, I'm here to tell you, if it takes a judgmental preacher to cause you to wake up and understand you're not ready to go to heaven and to put something inside of you that says you want to go, then you better thank God for a judgmental message. You better thank God for a preacher with a backbone that will stand and look at you and say, if God is saying something different than what you're living, it's time to bring your life into order. We don't hear a lot of preaching about it anymore, but the Lord, where he was talking about, he says, I'm fixed to ascend back into the heavens. Do you really want to go to heaven? Oh man, wait a minute. I was getting a whole lot more shout here just a moment ago over the fact when I said that Jesus could do anything. Honey, I'm here. God needs to be able to do anything because we need Him to do everything that it takes to prepare us to go to heaven. But I'm so glad this old world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures, they're laid up. Come on, somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And honey, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, I'm getting ready to leave this place. Hey, come on. I said, I'm getting ready to leave this place. I want to go. Let me just probe here for just a moment. I've always preached that we don't know that we have the next moment. And I thought I believed it until January the 19th when my 54-year-old brother dropped dead with what apparently is a heart attack. And it turned this preacher inside out because all of a sudden, I realize he's 54. I just turned 53 on the 26th. Boy, my mind's slipping. I'm back in my second childhood. 53 on June the 26th. And I realize that, you know what? Life is but a vapor. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from God of mercy and grace and opportunity. So let me just say this. Why in the world would you sit here today in the apostolic anointing of this moment and not be right with God, not be ready to go to heaven, or trying to decide if you really want to be sold out and committed to God? Honey, you got no other guarantee than this moment. But right now there is grace. Right now there is forgiveness. Right now there is mercy. Right now there is hope. Right now there is possibility. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord, all you people. But we don't hear much preaching about heaven anymore because we have become such a blessed people and our nation has been so prosperous until we feel like this is heaven where we live. We compare ourselves to the third world countries and all the other places around the world and we feel like that America has it all. And I want to tell you, I love America. I'm American from the top of the head to the sole of my feet. But this world is not my home. I am just a passing through. My father and my bloodstream is of a divine spiritual nature. And honey, I want to make sure that I'm not living for here when I can go there. I'm not living for here when God wants to take me there. I don't want to be so focused down here that I forget about the up there. I want to go. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to miss heaven for the world. I don't want to miss heaven for my education. I don't want to miss heaven for my misconceptions. I don't want to miss heaven for anything in this world. Because to miss heaven is to miss Jesus Christ. It is to miss eternity with Him. It is to miss everything that we live for future. But the only way to receive all that is for future is to embrace His Word in the present. He said, even the same thing I said unto you from the beginning. That's what I'm saying to you. That's who I am. From the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And God began to speak. And God began to create. He has not changed. He is still God. He was God in the beginning. He is God in the middle. He will be God in the ending. And He is still. Notice that. Oh, I got to preach here for a moment. The first identity and characteristic of God Himself was that He was a creator. Honey, I don't care what life has torn up. I don't care what you've broken up. I don't care what life has stolen. I don't care what you've lost. You've got a God that if He can't find it, He can recreate it. Come on, somebody. He recreates love. He recreates marriages. He recreates broken bodies. Oh, my Lord. Somebody's got to get this. Long before He said that I'm the Savior of the world, He said I'm the Creator of all that exists. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost starting to move a little bit now. Sick here in your body saying, I don't know what to do. I got all these things going on. My body's out of balance. Doctors giving me all kinds of crazy reports. I'm sick. I'm dying. Honey, I'm here to tell you the doctor can give you the report, but God can give you the restoration. God can give you the renewal. He is a creator.
Oh, come on, let your faith go. Release your faith. I'm here to tell you God's in this house today. But you've got to decide if you want to go where God says His path leads. Do you want to walk where His Word says you can live? Do you want to experience what His Word says it can deliver?
Amazingly enough, in verse 28, back up to verse 27, it says, they understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Verse 28, it says, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. I'm going to paraphrase that for you and put it real simple. He said, when you have a true Calvary experience, everything in life will come clear.
When you quit getting somebody else's story, when you quit reading somebody else's account, when you quit trying to create your own Calvary, He said, when you lift up the Son of Man, when you embrace and enact the work of Calvary, He was saying when the cross of Calvary takes place, He said, your eyes are going to be open, and then you're going to know what you did not know before. This is why on the day of Pentecost, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection, this is why the Apostle Peter, standing up with the 11, as he began to preach to them about how to be saved, he went on to tell them that the Christ that you have crucified is not only the Christ, but He is the Messiah. He began to, and all things began to be revealed. And this is what provoked the question of what must we do to be saved? If we have killed our Messiah, if we have destroyed our Savior, if we have adulterated our hope, if we have sent Him away, then what do we do now? And honey, He said, you gotta understand, it's transition. He now has gone into the heavens. He said, and this is how you're gonna put it back together. He said, you gotta repent. You gotta be baptized. You gotta be filled with the Holy Ghost. You gotta have your own Calvary experience. You gotta have your own death. You gotta have your own burial. And you gotta have a resurrection. But it's of the Spirit. Oh, does anybody want to go today? Not just to heaven, but do you want to receive the earnest of your inheritance today? If you've not been filled with the Spirit, do you want to be born again? Do you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost in fire? Do you want your sins forgiven? Oh, Jesus.
Do you want to go? Tell you, some of the most miserable short excursions I've ever made in my life is when I convinced people to go with me someplace they didn't want to go. Huff and puff, complain, pout, twist and turn, fidget. Sounds a lot like church, don't it?
Because the preacher preaches about going somewhere with God that you don't want to go. But somewhere there's been somebody that's compelled you to come into the house of God. Matter of fact, that's biblical. The Bible says to compel them to come. But after the compelling comes a consecration, comes a commitment from the individual that says, now that I'm here and I hear what God's doing and I hear where God's saying we need to go and I'm hearing where God says He dwells and realize that I'm not there. I'm not just going to be here in body, but I'm going to bring my spirit up on in the house. I'm going to bring my soul on up in the house. I'm going to bring my life and future up in the house. And I'm going to begin to ask God to change me from the inside out. Because wherever God's going, I want to go. Whatever God's doing, I want to go. Wherever God's going to be, I want to go. Oh, I'm asking you again today, and I'm pushing hard. But do you want to go? Do you really want to be a born-again, apostolic, Holy Ghost, sanctified, holy roller, dancing, shouting, running, full of the power of God? Do you really want to be forgiven of your sins, or do you just want to feel better about the hope that you could be forgiven? Oh, God, help me today. Oh, Jesus. Lord, let your anointing fill this house. Lift your hands and love the Lord for just a moment. Lord God, I know what you spoke to me. Lord, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that literally the convicting, calling hand and voice of God would reach across this building, and more than a strange preacher, familiar preacher's voice saying, do you want to go? Would you let it be the voice of the heavens? Would it let it be the voice of thunder? Would you let it be the voice of God? God, that penetrates to the depths of heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and begins to echo and resound over and over and over again to men and women in this house, Lord, that have never yet repented, or men and women that have grown cold, men and women that have never been filled with the Spirit. the voice of the Spirit saying, do you want to go? 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 I'm not going to stay here, but it's noteworthy, very important to understand that Jesus was saying, I'm going to heaven. There are only two destinations of the soul. It's heaven and hell. So if he's saying in your present condition, you can't go where I'm going, he's telling them, you know what? You're headed for hell. Again, this is another old-fashioned message. Nobody wants to talk about hell anymore. Nobody wants to talk about being lost. Nobody wants to talk about being eternally damned. Folks, I'm not here today to upset your apple cart. But again, I am here to tell you that there is a real heaven and there is a real hell. There is a real being saved and there is a real being lost. And the key to being saved and the key to being lost are just polar opposites. One is obedience to God and all of His Word, and the other is a resistance and a denial and a rejection of all that He said. But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is alive in this house today. Yea, the Word of the Lord is like a hot burning coal of fire in my mouth and in my voice today and in the anointing of this moment. And I'm telling you, hey, if you're hungry, come and eat. If you're thirsty, come and drink. If you need forgiveness, come and repent. Because now if you want to go today, there is a God that wants to take you. Do you want to go? Do you want to go with Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven? Philippians 1 and 23. The Apostle Paul, he said, I'm in a fix between two straits. He said, because there's one part of me, he said, I want to depart and go to heaven and be with Jesus. He said, but at the same time, I see the purpose of my life down here and the impact of my life with the church and what God is doing here. Again, same thing as it was with Jesus Christ. The people of that day, they couldn't figure out if Paul was saying, you know what? I think that I'm fixing to die, or I think I want to commit suicide because I want to get out of here. No, Paul was torn because he says, I know God's doing an eternal thing, but also to know that God's doing a present thing. And wherever God is where I want to be. That's where I want to go. And there's part of me, I want to go to heaven and be with Jesus. But then I look at what God's doing down here in the lives of men and women, and I want to be here because I'm seeing and I'm a testimony of a transformed life. Honey, I'm here to tell you, it's a symbol. I don't care where God's doing something, heaven or on the earth. I just want to go there. I want to be there. And I'm telling you, God's in this house right now, and He's doing something. He's working something. And you got to do more than have your body up in this house. But you got to let your spirit begin to release. You got to begin to call on His name. You got to begin to say, I want to go. Blind Bartimaeus, what are you doing on the roadside? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, old blind man. Be quiet. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows the condition of your life. Hey, Jesus is passing by, but you're blind. You don't have the sight to follow. You don't have the ability to follow. You're just stuck in this place of life. It's your existence. It's what's been handed to you. Just accept it. Just live with it. It's all that you know. It's all that you've ever reasoned. He said, it may be all I've ever known. Maybe all that I've ever reasoned. He said, but I've heard that Jesus does something different. I've heard that God can do something different. I've heard that God can open the eyes of the blind. And if He's passing by me and He's going somewhere else, wherever He's going is where I want to go. And on that road, there is miraculous discovery. So Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And somebody said, you got to quiet down. He said, oh no. He said, the more you tell me to quiet down, the louder I'm going to get. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Why are you crying out? He said, because I've heard that Jesus goes to a place of healing. I've heard that Jesus goes to a place of miracles. I've heard that Jesus goes to a place of transformation of lives. And I want to go, JP. I don't want to be left on the roadside in blindness. I don't want to be left on the roadside in calamity. I don't want to be left behind. I want to go wherever Jesus wants to take me. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come, O Holy God of heaven. Let your glory reign in this house. Let your spirit usurp, God, the powers of the flesh. And let your spirit reign supreme in the name of Jesus.
Do you want to go? We tell you in these few verses, the Lord made very clear that it was possible to be lost, that it was possible to know Jesus, that it was possible to hear His voice, that it was possible to be closely associated with Him, that it was possible to be religious in nature and still not go where He was going. I'm just going to touch it quick. You can come to church every Sunday and hear the preacher preach. You can come to church every Sunday and put your tithe and offering in the offering plate. You can come to church and feel close to God. You can come to church and say you're religious. As a matter of fact, just come to church regularly and doing things I've said make you religious. Look up the definition. Religion has no definition associated with God. But God has a connection to religion when it's lived in love and adoration towards Him.
True religion
is how you impact the world around you after God has filled you with His Spirit. I got scripture for that. I'm just not going to go there. Your pastor's helped me out like he used to when he was with me. He's quoting the verse and scripture to me. I think I said sometime to somebody, if I ever get condemned and go to hell, it's going to be because I'm jealous of his brilliant mind. I'm just stumbling around saying the scripture says, and if you really need to know the chapter and verse, we'll find it afterwards, but I know it's there. And he's just looking off left or looking, he looks left like this, and he looks up and he starts reading the scripture and starts quoting it to you. Hey folks, I'm here to, hey, everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got an anointing. I'm telling you, this man's got a gift and he's got an anointing. But what I'm trying to tell you here today is you can be a part of all that and the energy and excitement of this building and the unity that I feel here and yet never go where God wants you to go. Never be what God wants you to be. And someday with the sounding of the trumpet, you bust hell wide open. But I'm not here today to try to hang hell over your head. I'm here today trying to dangle heaven and all of God's blessings and saying, do you want it? Do you want to go? If you want to go, then you got to start acting like it. You got to start showing it. You got to start obeying it. You got to start doing what God said do. Where's Mariah at? Where's Mariah at? She back here somewhere? Just wave your hand, honey. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Do you know why God filled you with the Holy Ghost? Were you good enough to get it? You were doing the right things, but in and of yourself, you weren't good enough to get the Holy Ghost. None of us are. Are you perfect? No, I'm sure some people think you are, but none of us are. Is she a beautiful young lady? Give her a big hand. Beautiful.
But somewhere, you took the teaching and the preaching and the Word of God and what you felt with God, and you said, I want to do more than just hear it and feel it, but I want to go there. I want to go there. What's it going to take for me to go there? I got to repent. All right, I'm going to repent. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I got to repenting, and you know what? And God forgave me. And I sensed that forgiveness, and the next thing I know, it filled me with the Holy Ghost. But the Bible doesn't stop there, Mariah. You got to continue on the journey. He said, repent, you repented. He filled you with the Holy Ghost on credit. God's that good. But He said, there's something else you got to do. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Honey, you just got to keep walking. You got to keep obeying. You got to, hey, I'm here to tell you, today's a great day for somebody to get baptized. Today's a great day for somebody to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Today's a great day for somebody to declare, I want to go. Well, I'm watching my elder back there run the aisles. God bless you. Hey, we need more of it in the church house. More elders and more youngers and more in-betweeners that'll say, I'm so excited. I want to go and I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise, but I'm going to heaven.
Let me just quickly touch. I've already touched this first one, but the things that will keep you from going to heaven. Number one is self-righteousness. That idea that came from the scribes and Pharisees that said, we know who we are. We know to whom we've been born. We know our identity. We don't need anything else. We're fine just like we are. Jesus, you're just blessed to be around us. Because there's no way we can be lost. There's no way we can go to hell. So if we can't go where you're going, you must be going someplace different. Because we're the sons of Abraham. Folks, that is nothing more than self-righteousness. That part, it doesn't matter whether it comes to religiosity or whether it comes to the blatant heart of what the scripture would call a heathen, somebody that's not paying any attention to God, but they feel like in and of themselves they are enough. They feel like that if there is a heaven and it takes mercy and grace to get there, that my life is sufficient enough that I should be qualified to receive that grace and that mercy. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? Lord, I don't want to get lost here, but I'm just going to say it. I go to church every Sunday. You say, well, you better, you're a pastor. But I go to church every Sunday because I'm in love with God. I want to be where He's at, but I'm a pastor. And just understand, I'm just talking. I serve now with your pastor on our district board as a presbyter. I've got a number of young men and even pastors now that have come out running my ministry. My wife and I, we've been married 32 years. That's a testimony. That's a miracle in this age by general population. That's a miracle in our home because she had to put up with me that long. You talk about grace and mercy. Two beautiful daughters. A son-in-law. 3-year-old grandson and a granddaughter on the way. I've served as mayor in my city. God's given me favor and honor among men. But none of that qualifies me to go to heaven. That's just the accolades of men. That's the blessings and the trappings along the way. But I'm here to tell you, I was a sinner before I was saved by grace. I now am a sinner saved by grace. And it is only grace that keeps this sinner saved. And it's the only thing that's going to get me there. It's not my money. It's not my education. It's not my position. That would be self-righteousness. And the Bible says there is only one that is righteous. And that is Christ Jesus. But honey, I'm here to tell you, His righteousness is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It covers a multitude of sins. So if you're here today feeling content, I'm going to use a rough term, a little smug, a little arrogant about who you are and how you don't really need any more than what you have, and that you feel like you can just come to church and coast through the services because you know what? You've already done enough for Jesus in the past. Honey, then I'm here to tell you, your God is in the past. Your power is in the past. Your ability is in the past. And your salvation is in the past. But today, there ought to become a rekindling that says, you know what? God, forgive me for taking my blessings too seriously and for taking the fact that somehow it was because of me that you gave them. But it was because of you and your graciousness that you gave him. And God, I want you to know, after 3 years or 30 years or 50 years, I still want to go. So wash me and cleanse me and purge me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit, oh God, because I want to go. Oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to be where Jesus is at. I want to be doing what He wants me doing. I want to be in the middle of His moving and working in the here and now and in the world to come. Do you want to go? I'm almost finished. Do you want to go? Another thing that will cause you to miss heaven, and it's tied almost inseparably to the first of self-righteousness, but is a misconception of your positioning in relation to God. Scribes and Pharisees felt like that they were in a hierarchy position. Yet read after them again. They were men of prayer. They were men of diligence and tithing and order. And they worshiped continually with sackcloth and ashes and in humility, continually showing publicly that they were humble. But the Lord, when He told them, He said, you need to realize something. I'm from up above. And you are from down below. I am of my Father which is in heaven, and you are of your father, the devil. He was saying, you're fleshly, and I'm heavenly. I'm up above, you're down below. And as long as you think that you're up above and I'm down below, you can't go where I'm going. Because you're not going to lead
people to heaven by you being at the front of the line, but you're going to lead people to heaven by getting in line behind me and going where I'm going. And so my question is, scribes and Pharisees, do you want to go? What are you doing? We have so many people that feel like Jesus is just a prophet. He's just an idea. He's just a man of good reasoning. The world, and even the religious world, has tried to denigrate Jesus Christ down to being some small part of something spiritual but equal to Muhammad and Buddha. And everybody, I'm here to tell you, he is none of those, but he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the God of all time, the God of all eternity. He is the great creative one. He is this. Come on, help me for just a few more minutes here. I'm telling you, I'm preaching as God gives it to me today. You got to wake up and understand. He is from above, we are from beneath. But honey, I don't want to stay beneath. I want to go up. So I want to go where he is. So oh God, give me a revelation of who you are. Let me see you in your glory. Let me see you in your power. Let me see you in your divine demonstration.
But then let me touch one more. It's not just self-righteousness, not just misconception of position. But it's literally just not believing.
See, because I'm going to tell you right now, you choose to believe or not to believe. You choose.
My daddy taught me early on when I was in school, if a kid comes up to you and says, I'm fixing to knock your head off, you better believe him. Because if you don't believe him, you will be unprepared when the punch takes place.
How many of you, when you're driving down the road in excess of the speed limit, and you see a CHP or police officer hit your brakes?
I'm proving a point. It's because you believe, you choose to believe.
Yep. Now, there have probably been some of us in here when we were younger, we didn't believe, and we got the fine that went with it. But when you believe something, you will respond to it. So people say, well, I just don't believe in God. He needs to prove himself. God doesn't need to prove anything to you. He's God. He has always been and will forever be. And whether you choose to believe it or not, he's still going to be. The only determination, the only destiny it's going to change is yours. He's still going to be God. The heavens are still going to be set. The earth is still going to go until he says time is no more. And those which have repented, been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living a godly, holy, overcoming life that chose to believe, they're going to be caught up in a moment, twinkling of an eye. They will be with him and they will be like him. And you will be left behind.
So don't give me this bit, I just don't believe. You need to start believing.
Well, how do I start believing? Start obeying. Well, I don't know if God will hear me. Well, he said if you would pray, he would hear you. Right. Well, I don't know how to pray. Read his word. It will tell you.
Right. When you pray, pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
You can study it. There is a pattern. There is a plan. There is a way. Well, you know what? I don't know if God forgives sins and start repenting. How do I repent? I ask God to forgive me, and I begin to bring forth fruit or actions, meat or representative of repentance. If I'm walking that way, and that's the wrong way, and God's going that way, and I want to go, I turn around, and I start walking this way. And you say, but wait a minute, I don't know if I have the strength to do that. The Bible says that God's strength is sufficient unto the day. You just turn around and start walking, and you're going to find out you're not walking by yourself, but that God's going to walk with you. That God, come on somebody, I'm to tell you, you can live for God. You can have a transformed life. You just have to choose to believe.
As we stand across the building, our musicians come. Do you want to go? See, the only thing that testifies that we really want to go is when we choose to believe. And the thing that testifies of our choosing to believe is our obedience to God's word.
So when the preacher says, if you want your sins forgiven, you want to be Holy Ghost filled, I'm opening the altar, come, God is ready. And you sit and say, not today, not today. What you're really saying is, I don't believe. I don't believe because I won't obey. When it's preached that the way to have your sins washed away, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion in water. Going completely under, symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ, covering all of your sins, that your sins are washed away in a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Oh, what a glorious thought. What a glorious thought. Honey, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to tell you.
There's a whole lot of stuff got buried in a baptistry a long time ago, and I'm glad that God don't let nobody remember it, and God don't remember it, and I'm able to walk in freedom and liberty and power. But you say, I just don't know if that baptism stuff works. I want to wait and think about it a little while. You're just saying, I don't believe. I choose not to believe. I choose not to believe. I've heard a lot about Pentecost. Maybe even I was invited here today. Maybe I'm a first-time visitor, and you know, it's just as wild and crazy as they told me. Maybe even a little more so. They told me it was going to be loud, but my Lord, preacher, do you have to scream all the way through? The truth of the matter is, no, I don't. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not right now. But whether I'm screaming at the top of my lungs or I'm whispering, the voice yet remains the same. The question is the same. Do you want to go? Do you want to be God's child? Do you want more than just a religious concept? Do you want a relationship with God? Do you want more than to feel better about the sin you're living in and the burden you're still carrying? Or do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be washed? Do you want to be cleansed? Do you want to be prepared should your last moment on this earth be 5 minutes from right now? Do you want to go to heaven? Because it doesn't matter how bad you've been in the past. It only matters about what's going on right now. And when the trumpet sounds or when you draw your last breath, is there anybody today that wants to go where Jesus is leading? Because let me just tell you, you got to make up your mind, and it's for me, that no matter the cost, I want to go. Are you hearing me? No matter the cost, I want to go. I've known of superstars in the world holding concerts that people pay the most insane and ludicrous amounts of money to go and hear sing. You know why they paid the price? Anybody know? Because they wanted to go. I've heard of people paying insane amounts of money to go to the Super Bowl. You know why they paid that money? Because they wanted to go. You know why their family had to do without things? Because somebody wanted to go somewhere. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is penetrating right now. I feel the Holy Ghost breaking through some people's walls today. Do you want to go? Do you want to go with Jesus? Do you want to be washed? Do you want to be cleansed? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be transformed? What's it going to cost me, preacher? That doesn't matter if you want to go. But I don't know everything God's going to want of me. It doesn't matter if you want to go. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the supreme superstar, if you believe that He is the ultimate to see and to experience, then it does not matter anymore what it costs me. And the Lord said, if any man would come after me, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That self-righteous thing has got to go. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You got to get things in the proper position. Because as long as you think you can gain your own life, you're going to lose it. But when you get in the right position or willing to abdicate your own ideas and follow God, He said you're going to find salvation. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you want to go today? Let me just ask you, what would you, God's talking about being able to gain the salvation of your soul. What are you willing today to offer of yourself and of your life that you're willing to give in exchange for your soul?
that you're in a bargaining place today and you're making up your mind you want to go to heaven and yet you're feeling like you're going to have to let some things go. You may have to change some things. I'm just telling you, why don't you just do the simple thing and just bring all of you to the altar. Just bring all of yourself to the altar. Spread your light out with the good, the bad, and the ugly, with the strength and the weakness, with the sin and the greatness, and lay it all out on an altar and say, God, I want to go to heaven so much today. I'm just asking you, take whatever you want to take, leave what you want to leave, add what you want to add, but God, whatever you do, when I get up out of this altar, I want to be washed, I want to be cleansed, I want to be spirit-filled, I want to know that I can go with you. This altar is open right now to one and all, first-time visitors, established saints of God. Do you want to go? Would you bring yourself? Would you bring your life? Would you come to Jesus today?
I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
Come on, Jesus loves you today. He's come today to tell you he'll heal you. He will fill you. He will restore you. He will rebuild you. He will save you.
I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The loving mother up in glory land, I don't expect to stop.
Come on, if you got unrepentant sin, you can't go to heaven. But Jesus today can forgive you and wash you. Come on, it's time for a life change. Our world needs more of Jesus.
In this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. That if heaven is not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't.
Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, elder saint of God. Come on, be renewed in the Holy Ghost today. There's going to be some shouting time here in a minute, but right now, it's reconsecration. It's rededication. I don't want to miss heaven for anything. I want to go to be with Jesus. And right now, Jesus is moving in this altar, and I want to move with him. I want to be moved by him. I want to be lifted by him.
I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home,